Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. Vicki Christensen has a difficult job. The newly installed chief of the U.S. Forest Service has promised Congress she'll change the agency's culture, a culture that has led to widespread harassment, misconduct, and retaliation. My next guest has studied organizational and cultural change for decades. Bob Tobias, professor in the Key Executive Leadership Program at American University, has some advice for the Forest Service leadership, and he joins me now. And I guess it's an easy thing, Bob, to say to Congress, yeah, I'm going to fix that culture, but how do you actually do it?
Well, it is interesting to say we have to change the culture. But that, what that really means, Tom, is changing behavior. And in this case, changing the behavior associated with harassment. And I think that oftentimes what leaders do is try to change the structure. So we'll hire somebody who will be a senior executive to lead the agency's Office of Work Environment and Performance, or they'll create an employee advisory group. But what they forget to look at, what leaders who are seeking to change behavior don't look at, is their own behavior. Am I willing to change my own behavior in order to more effectively lead a change effort? So, for example, Ms. Christensen, would she be willing to say publicly, I'm willing to increase the amount of time that I spend on this initiative? In other words, making clear that this initiative of reducing harassment is important to her. Is she willing to examine her own values to determine if they're consistent with the change she seeks? And most importantly, does she model the behavior that she's seeking by being more inclusive? And it's not just Ms. Christensen I'm speaking of. It's any leader who seeks to change the behavior of others.
Because she did mention to Congress that, yes, there is a new code of conduct and that people will be held to that. But that's kind of code itself. I mean, it was already illegal and against the rules to do harassment and retaliation. So it seems
exactly.
Like a code of conduct doesn't change a lot necessarily in and of itself.
It does not. It says, well, this is the behavior we seek, but it doesn't focus on herself and what she's willing to change in order to have the credibility to urge others to change.
And what about disciplinary procedures and jumping right on cases of expressed harassment? That seems like something that was plaguing that department or that agency for quite a while, is that not a lot of action necessarily took place when complaints came in.
Exactly. So I think that's a two-step answer, Tom. First, I have to feel safe enough to file the complaint. Am I, as a leader, creating an environment where people feel safe that they're not going to be the subject of retaliation when they file a complaint? And second, once the complaint is filed, is it promptly, thoroughly investigated and resolved? And agencies who don't do that and have these complaints stay around for 6 months or a year, people lose all confidence that they're ever going to get proper redress.
We're speaking with Bob Tobias, professor in the Key Executive Leadership Program at American University. And how do you balance the rights of those that are accused? Because you don't want the accusations to become a weapon because someone accused is automatically considered guilty. This seems to be one of the toughest issues this whole harassment issue is facing right now.
It is, and that requires proper investigation and proper resolution. So if someone is improperly accused, the record needs to be cleared very, very promptly, which means prompt investigation and prompt resolution. Absent that, it's a cancer that lingers in the workplace until it is resolved.
And what about training? Is there a way that people can be trained to understand or get some sort of education that this is no longer tolerable?
Training is important. People need to know what the rules are. They need to know what constitutes harassment. But they also need to be challenged to look at themselves and how they behave. If I'm asking you to change your behavior, Tom, it's one thing to say what the rules are. It's another thing to say, well, are you going to behave consistent with those rules? And many training programs do not go to the level of what is my behavior and do I need to change my own behavior in the context of the rules that I'm learning about today.
And I guess judging from, we have some reporting on recent developments here, and one of the complaints a member of the House had is that in the procedures that the Forest Service has in place, the accuser and the accused are often in the same room together when these types of hearings are held, the internal investigations are held, which seems pretty non-conducive to people being honest about what they saw or felt or heard or did.
Right. There are a lot of these processes where they attempt to resolve the dispute as a condition for going forward with filing a complaint. And to put the accused and the accuser in the same room against the wishes of the accuser, I think stifles complaints and continues to perpetrate an environment where harassment can take place.
It seems like an important step is to make sure that the second echelon of commanders, leaders, whatever it is in these highly hierarchical organizations get the message. Because often if there's nothing happening in between the very top person and the line level will figure, well, that's just the top person mouthing off. But if the supervisors in between get serious about it, then the next line understands that, yeah, this is real.
I couldn't agree more, Tom. It's easy for the person at the top to say we need a behavior change. But if that leader does change his or her behavior and further spends the time necessary to follow up at that first and, more importantly, the second level, where those are the folks who are going to either support an accused or they're going to try to push it aside. So those levels, as you suggest, are really important to organization change behavior.
And there's also a distinction, a legal distinction and an actual distinction between harassment and outright assault. And it seems that to me that if you make sure that the harassment is jumped on with both feet, that might reduce the incidences of assault because
it's less
fertile ground there.
Exactly. I have to create the environment where people feel safe enough to file those harassment claims, get them adjudicated, to avoid the kind of assault that the Forest Service and other agencies have experienced.
And how fast can these things be changed? Is it 10 years? Is it a month or what?
I think they can be changed pretty fast. If I'm really, really serious, and I spend, as a leader, what's my most important asset, and that is my time, to have this change take place. And the Forest Service is a very challenging organization because small groups of employees are spread across the country. So reaching all of those pockets of employees and encouraging the change I seek will take a lot of my time to really make it happen. But think of what it would be like if the chief of the Forest Service started making visits to these small pockets of employees to reinforce her message. And that became known across the Forest Service. I think that it would really jumpstart the kind of change she seeks.
Bob Tobias is a professor in the Key Executive Leadership Program at American University. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsnetwork.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to the Federal Drive at iTunes or Podcast One. 56 past the hour. This is the Federal Drive with Tom Temin. For the latest updates, stay with federalnewsnetwork.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Up next, the top national headlines from ABC News and the Federal Newscast. I'm Tom Temin.